Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Pat Janiszewski, innovating Windows Store and Windows Phone developer. Pat, thank you for coming in today and sharing your experiences with our audience.
Thank you. I'm honored to be part of today's show and to have the opportunity to share my experiences with everyone. So thank you again for having me and giving me this wonderful opportunity.
Now, Pat, you have one degree, and yet you decided to earn a second degree. Why?
Well, education is very important to me. It is also very important to my family. And actually, the story behind the second degree is that I always wanted to be more computer literate. I was always kind of scared of computers and pretty much intimidated by technology just a little bit. My first degree is in human resources. And before I actually got into my MIS degree, I could barely operate an email. That might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but I was pretty much totally computer illiterate. And the truth is that I just wasn't exposed to technology at an early age. So when I got into the business management field at UALR, I started an introductory MIS course, and basically it touched up on Excel and Access, and it was pretty much like a foreign language to me. I struggled with it throughout the whole class and was basically just lost. So I pretty much promised myself that if I passed this class, I would never touch any MIS classes again, and that's when I decided to go for HR and choose that as my major. And I did enjoy that, but I always knew that I needed to become more proficient in technology. So I had a few electives that I had to take, and I would always go back and forth between whether or not I should take an MIS classes for my elective. So finally, I gave in and took advanced PC applications, and this class was pretty much the turning point for me. A few of my buddies from my HR major were also in this class, and I remember that they were all having a hard time and wishing that they had never signed up for the course. I remember one guy actually walking out on our first test, and the instructor, I guess, asked him where he was going, and the guy just said, I can't do this, and just walked out. So basically, we had to, I guess, in this course, since the main focus was Excel and Access, we had to do things in Access such as building databases, setting up queries, and of course running queries. So even though I had somewhat of a tough time in this class, I actually learned a lot and became comfortable using Excel and Access, and I pretty much realized right then and there how powerful those applications were. So I really believe that this was the turning point for me, because right after this course, I signed up for a COBOL class as another elective, and it was also with the same professor, and I did a lot better in the COBOL class and graduated after that semester. So after graduating, I still had quite a bit of veterans benefits left, like a GI Bill, so I made a decision to stay in school and get another degree, and I pretty much chose MIS. My confidence was built up a little bit more, so that's what I went with, and that's where I am today.
Wow, that's an amazing story, going from HR and then moving into MIS and computing. Quite a difference, I guess. You know,
Yeah, it's very scary.
Yeah, quite a journey, and I guess there's something to be said for perseverance, right? You stick with
right.
it, and then everything starts to
stick
make sense.
It.
Okay, now, you know, I've looked at your background. You've had some great successes. Can you profile then some of your top successes?
Well, I consider earning my first bachelor's degree to be one of my major successes. There was a time in my life where college was pretty much just a distant dream. I remember thinking that earning a degree was just not going to happen for me. And I say this because right after high school, I joined the Army. And as soon as I finished boot camp and AIT, I was deployed, went to Kuwait and Iraq. And that was pretty much my life until I moved back to Arkansas. I was put on back on reserve status. So at this point, I purchased my first home and had to keep a job, basically. So I was working pretty much within a month of moving back to Arkansas. I was working for a rubber factory and stayed there for 5 years. And during this time, I attempted to go back to school, I'd say about two different times. It was also at UALR. I was taking night classes. And I would take like maybe one or two classes at a time, but nothing ever came of it because I was having to work so much overtime at this place, and I never knew when I would have to stay over. Basically, if it was my turn to stay over for 4 hours, then I had to stay, or I would get written up and three write-ups, and you were out of there. So basically, I didn't want to be enrolled in school and then have to miss classes. So I think I attempted to do it like twice and then pretty much called it quits after that. So I stuck with that job working roughly around 60 hours per week. And I'm sure that if I would have not been laid off from that job, I would probably still be there today because I was pretty much scared of leaving for some strange reason. So losing that job was basically a blessing in disguise, because immediately after being laid off, one of my best friends convinced me to go back to school rather than trying to find another job. So that's exactly what I did, and even though it was a long, hard road, I finally did it, and earning that first degree was one of the happiest moments in my life. And another success story in my life would be serving my country, being part of the U.S. Army. I enlisted as a private shortly after the 9/11 incident. It was sometime around April of 2001 when I actually signed the paperwork. And a couple of months later, I was shipped out to boot camp, Fort Jackson, South Carolina. Immediately after boot camp, I was sent directly to Aberdeen Proving Grounds in Maryland. And that was AIT, or what they call Advanced Individual Training. And I think training altogether took about 6 months. And then I got to come home for about a month. So while I was home, I received the news that my unit was activated and that we were heading to Kuwait and Iraq. So I got deployed, and the deployment lasted a total of 2 years. I ended up getting promoted twice during the deployment, and then once immediately after coming back. So I'm pretty proud to have served my country and made it back home okay, because I was one of the very fortunate ones, because we had quite a few close calls, and there was actually a few guys in my unit that weren't so fortunate. So another success story is what I have been able to achieve with Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. Because first of all, if you would have told me a couple of years ago that I would have applications in the marketplace, I probably would have laughed at you. So today I have well over 100 applications in the market, and they're actually getting lots of downloads and good reviews. So I would definitely consider that to be a huge success story for me.
Now, you know, you're a developer, and you're, in fact, you're a notable and recognized developer, and so can you provide some of your special tips for using C#?
Yes. Actually, to make one thing clear, I'm far from an expert when it comes to C# or programming. I haven't been doing this very long, so I'm still learning and actually heavily rely on friends, professors, tutorials, and other online resources that are available to me through Microsoft and BizSpark. So when it comes to C# and developing applications, I still consider myself a beginner. I can say that I've made major improvements, but it is pretty much important to understand that I'm not quite there yet, so I'm going to keep this very simple. So I guess my first tip would be, first of all, one thing that I've learned is to always use comments in your code. And this will not only help you remember what the code is being used for when you access the application later, but also for beginners like me that use tutorials and rely on help from others or more experienced developers. If someone like me does not use comments, then I end up getting completely lost and sometimes having to start all over, which I've had to do several times. I've spent, let's say, a week on an application, and then I messed something up somewhere, and there's no fixing it. And if I took it to a professor or one of my friends for them to, for large applications, it would basically take up a lot of their time just to catch the mistake. So I end up having to pretty much scratch it. So, basically it's important to remember to always use comments in your code. And another thing that goes hand in hand with this is while you're still learning, to make small changes and then test rather than trying to build half the application like I've done so many times and then test it. Another tip would be to make sure you handle all exceptions. For example, if your application requires the internet and the user is trying to access it offline, it will basically crash. So in order to avoid crashing, you can handle this exception with a simple error message, like something that pops up and says you must be online to utilize this feature. Okay, and another tip would be follow a naming convention when naming your variables. And this is something very basic, very simple, but yet very important. And by this, I mean that when you declare a variable, you should always give it a meaningful name, something that actually means something to you. And by doing so, you'll make things a lot easier for yourself. For example, if you name your buttons in an application, button A, button B, these names really have no meaning. They will make no sense to you later on, and they will definitely not make sense to anyone else that is working on the application behind you. So ultimately, you want to use a naming convention when declaring variables, basically for readability purposes. Otherwise, when you open the code months later or a year down the road, to try to make some simple changes, you will be in bad shape and stressing over trying to figure out what all these variables are. And this is especially true when you are working on large projects. I mean, can you imagine having to go through every single variable in a project and having to figure out what it is and what it's used for? So my last tip is use the Control+Z shortcut, and basically don't be afraid to experiment and make changes to the code. Just use the shortcut if you mess anything up, and it'll undo your last changes, and you can use it as many times as you want. I mean, it'll every time you use Control+Z, it'll undo, so if you mess a bunch of things up, just press Control+Z, Control+Z, Control+Z. And I've had to learn this the hard way. So you don't have to be afraid of messing anything up as long as you, I guess, do it the right way and are conscious of it.
Now, what are the challenges in having a startup company?
Well, obviously, limited funding and having basically to fend for yourself. Your business hasn't been established yet. Your business name hasn't been established. You're kind of lost and maybe don't know exactly what you're doing because it's new to you, and having to worry about whether you're going to make it or not. Those are all, I guess, challenges that I'm facing at this time.
Now, from your perspective, what are the best online resources to use as a developer?
For developers, there are tons and tons of online resources that can be very, very helpful. First of all, there are all sorts of SDKs. These are software development kits. You can find these online. These are very valuable for developers in adding specific features to their apps. And I have used several of these SDKs in my apps, and it's one thing that I like to do a lot. And just to name a few of these SDKs, there's Nokia Imaging SDK, and this can be used to build an application for editing images. I believe it has around like 30 filters, if not more. And also what's great about this SDK is that Nokia Develop has several app challenges for developers at this time that consist of developing applications using this SDK, or even updating a current app that you have in the marketplace by implementing this SDK. And I believe these challenges are actually open to all U.S. developers and even developers in other countries. Another SDK that's worth mentioning is Aviary SDK, and this is one of my personal favorites. It's another photo editor SDK, and this one has some awesome filters and effects. It's got stickers and even text. A lot of users that have downloaded my application that uses Avery SDK, they really like the fact that you can lay text over your images. And I've even had like small business owners that have been looking for applications with that feature that were actually happy to find it in my application. So I've received a lot of good reviews on my apps that use Avery SDK, and I've also had a lot of fun myself editing my own photos using this SDK. So you might want to remember this one. And so a third SDK is the Bing Translator SDK. And this is actually one of the very first ones I used. I guess when I started out developing apps, I was using templates, and probably the first app that I made that was not a template was a translator app, and I actually ended up making quite a few just two language simple translators, and this is what kind of helped me learn a little bit more. But I use the Bing Translator SDK, and basically I think there are at least three tutorials that I know of online that anyone can easily find just by Googling or using Bing to search for translator tutorials for Windows 8. There's videos, and there's actually, I think, PDF files also. And then other than SDKs, you've got a website called learnvisualstudio.net, and I consider this to be a very valuable resource. This website is run by Bob Tabor, and I believe he works for MSDN, the Microsoft Developer Network, and Channel 9. And the website is full of resources for programmers. It's full of programming tutorial videos. I've watched several of these series of videos, and I think Bob Tabor does an excellent job teaching. He has, I guess, a gift when it comes to, teaching. I personally believe that maybe he should be a professor, because I've learned a lot watching his videos on Channel 9 and through other resources as well. And another resource is actually Channel 9. It's really, really awesome. You can find a video series on any programming language. You can download the source code for every project and every video series. So that's one thing that developers should be looking for. Another resource is Skype. It's great for developers to communicate with each other and discuss projects. You can even use it on your phone. TeamViewer is another one that's really awesome. This is one of my favorite resources. You can use it to remote into your computers. Developers can use this to work on projects together. Both users can control the screen. It allows you to capture the screen. I use this a lot to help users of my apps, basically like if they can't figure out how to use a certain feature. So it comes in quite handy. Also, there's MSDN, the Microsoft Developer Network. They've got code samples. They've got their developer centers, forums, and a bunch of other resources. It's definitely worth checking out. There's a website called codeproject.com where you can find examples of just different code of how to, I guess, for different things that you would be trying to implement into an application. There is a website called stackoverflow.com, and if you have any questions for other developers, this is a good place for you to visit. There's C Sharp Corner, which is another great website, and a blog that is Hanselman.com. It's very awesome too. So any of those resources should do well.
Hey, those are some pretty good resources. Probably the best that I've heard anyone give in all the interviews I've done since
Thank
the
you.
1980s.
Thank you.
You know why? Because it's very practical.
Right. Well, I use them all the time, so I'm definitely someone who would know.
Now, what special technical tips can you provide when developing apps?
Okay. Well, the first tip is actually a tip that I picked up from watching Bob Tabor videos, and that is always test your application thoroughly before releasing it. It should not be crashing by the time it gets released to the public. It is basically the developer's responsibility to catch all the exceptions before the app is ever released. My second tip, start with a template and make small changes. And this is one that really worked for me. You have to learn how to crawl before you can walk. So for new developers, don't try to take on too much at first. Application development is a very complex process and it can be overwhelming. So I recommend starting out with a template and developing several apps using that template, and then go into the code in the background and start making small changes, and then run the application to see how the app is affected by these small changes. And I'm pretty sure that this is what built my confidence. So by the time I started making these small changes in the code, I already knew exactly what the application was supposed to do, and I was able to recognize the code and what role it played in the application. So my third tip, always assume that you will be making changes to the application or updating it. So write your code in a way that you will make, that will make this process easier for you later on. And my fourth tip is leave comments in your code, because as a developer, this is one of the most important things that you can do for yourself and others that may possibly be working behind you. You pretty much have to accept the fact that there is no such thing as a perfect application. There will always be bugs or some needs to add or alter features later. So you'll have a hard time remembering what you did later on if you don't leave yourself notes in the code. So it's definitely a great idea. And even perhaps one of your teammates picks up the application later on to make some changes to it, it can be very confusing to others. And you don't want them to have to spend a great deal of time trying to figure out the code that you wrote. So, which is another point why you should leave comments. And it pretty much just makes everything clear and essentially eliminates a lot of the ambiguity. And my last tip, I would say, don't try to target a specific device. Consider the fact that there are a variety of devices that run on several different screen resolutions. So you basically just want to keep everything generic.
You know, every day you're sort of in the fire, I guess. I mean, you're in the midst of developing applications, finding problems, and so on. So in your mind, then, what are the major challenges when developing apps?
Well, first of all, the idea, because without an idea, you pretty much have nothing. And you can be the best programmer in the world, but if you don't have an idea, then you will never even get to use your skills. And then getting your apps to stand out and having to compete with other developers that have more experience than you. There are already so many great apps that you have to compete with, so it's pretty much just hard. And even worse, there are big companies out there that have already established a name for themselves, and they have unlimited funds to pretty much hire a staff of programmers. So you also have to compete with them. And then once you actually have an idea, chances are that someone else is already using it. So you just have to try to make your app compete with theirs, or somehow make your application better. And pretty much developing the app itself is a challenge. I feel like I still have a lot to learn, and developing applications doesn't come easy for me anyways. So I constantly have to look things up, look for tutorials or explanations, or even ask others for help. And I've just been blessed to have great friends that are willing to work with me and help me when I get stuck. And I also have to mention my advanced programming professor, Dr. Bailey. She has been awesome, and just a great resource to have. And I feel really bad because I always feel like I'm bugging her, but she's been really great about making sacrifices to help her students, and I don't think I would be where I am today if it wasn't for her.
Now, what special developer techniques are you using in your latest app?
Basically, I'm using the same techniques I mentioned earlier. in my latest app, I believe I used the Nokia imaging SDK, which basically it's a photo editor app that offers, I think, around 30 filters. And I actually submitted that to a Nokia develop challenge and received some XP points for it, which I guess I will explain in a little bit what those are.
Again, looking at your background, you've got some interesting things that you've done, and I'm sort of just amazed, you know, because you've just started programming. But So how did you achieve your spotlights of top paid, new releases, best rated, number 15 spot in Nokia developer leaderboard, and 5 store app certified Softopedia?
Well, the spotlight, from my understanding, downloads and ratings pretty much make all the difference in the world when it comes to your apps ranking in the categories and holding that position. So I have a simple strategy that seems to work when it comes to making the spotlight categories. Because first of all, when I initially release an app, I always release it as a free app. You never want to release it as a paid app. And I don't even think about putting a price on it until it has at least around 1,000 downloads and a few ratings. So not many people are willing to pay for apps that don't have any ratings. So by putting a price on a new app, you are pretty much killing the chances of that app ranking in any of the spotlight categories. Naturally, people will be more willing to download a free app even if it doesn't have any reviews because they have nothing to lose. So by leaving your apps as free apps, you are allowing them to get the critical downloads that they need in order to climb their way to the top. So you are also allowing your apps to accumulate potential reviews, and these are also critical to your app's success. So with that being said, the best way to jumpstart your app's success and accumulate a lot of reviews in a very short time is to implement a RateMe code into your apps. And there's a couple of ways that this can be done. For example, setting your app up to prompt the user for a rating after it has been launched a certain amount of times, or even placing a link to rate the app in the app settings menu. And personally, I like to use both of these methods in my apps. And so these are the type of tricks that I use when I first release my apps. I then watch the spotlight categories very closely, and when I see my app appear in the new releases category, I know then that the app has received enough downloads and ratings to influence its position in that category. So then I make a decision based on where or how high it is ranked in the new releases category. And I decide on whether or not I will price it or wait a little bit longer. Because after it appears in the new releases category, one thing that's for sure is that it will definitely really receive more exposure now. So leaving it free here will guarantee enough downloads and potential reviews to shoot it up even higher in the releases in the new releases category. So once I am satisfied with the app's position in new releases, I then price it, and usually within hours, the app will then appear in top paid because it is now a paid app. So then you have an app that appears in two different spotlight categories. Your downloads should increase drastically, and as long as you're getting reviews along the way, you'll most certainly appear in the best rated category as well. So this pretty much sums up the process that I follow religiously to ensure that most of my apps make it into the spotlight categories. And as for Nokia Develop, my number 15 spot is for the most part contingent upon the ratings that I have earned in the process that I just described. So Develop awards XP points for certain challenges, and developers are ranked by the number of XP points that they have received. These challenges consist of anything from as simple as submitting a free app for 50 to 100 XP points, and they can get more complex, such as submitting an app that has 2,000 positive reviews, and you'll get something like 15,000 XP points for that. So those are just a couple of examples, and of course there are a number of different types of challenges available, and new challenges are posted on a daily basis. So most of my XP points were earned through app ratings, although I have successfully completed several small challenges to earn enough total XP points to reach the number 15 spot on the developer's leaderboard. As for Softopedia certifications, I would have to say that this was the easiest of all to achieve. I basically didn't have to do anything. Softopedia, from my understanding, looks for software or applications that they find interesting and then tests the application for bugs and viruses. And if your application is accepted into the Windows Store, then you already know then that it does not have any viruses. So just about every application, however, is going to have bugs somewhere. So Softopedia basically tests the functionality of the app, and if it comes up 100% clean and has no bugs, then they will actually certify it and guarantee the functionality. So in my case, my apps were actually very simple apps that they tested, so they happened not to have any bugs, and these are actually the very first apps that I developed without having to use a template. They were my translator app, and I believe they certified 4 different two-language translators, and then I recently received an email saying that they certified a calculator app that I made, which was also one of the very first apps that I made other than translators without using a template.
Now, that's a really interesting journey that you've been on, and I guess you're always hoping for that one killer app, right? The one that kind of has 2 million downloads.
Right. Still waiting on that one.
Okay. And you know what? It's going to happen because you just keep plugging away and it's going to happen. But it's persistent.
I hope so. I sure hope so.
We'll do another call and it'll be a different path.
Right.
Now, what are the major benefits of being part of this thing called BizSpark?
Oh, BizSpark is very awesome. It's a grant that is offered by Microsoft, and you get 24-hour technical support, and it's absolutely free. Free access to just about any Microsoft software that you can imagine, which is awesome. That's how I just got Office 365 on all my machines, and I absolutely love Office 365. You also have access to great training resources such as Microsoft Virtual Academy. So you can basically do that online at your own time, which really works for me because being in school full-time and trying to develop applications and having a 3-year-old son, I don't get much time for anything. So it really helps to be able to have Microsoft Virtual Academy. And another thing that I don't want to say too much about this because I'm not 100% sure. It's just something that I saw on the BizSpark website. But I believe that BizSpark partners you up with potential investors. So I need to look into that a little more before I can say anything. But it's definitely something for others to look into.
Now, over the course of the interview, you've mentioned some of this Microsoft technologies that you like. Can you get into this in more detail? What are your recommended Microsoft technologies and why?
Okay. Number one would have to be Office 365. It's the best Office that they've come out with yet. First of all, you can sync any of the documents that you're using with the cloud, with SkyDrive. So you can sync them essentially with all your devices. Like I have Office 365 on my phone, on my Windows 8 phone. So when I receive an email with a Word document or even an Excel spreadsheet, anything, I can open it up and look at it, edit it, save it back to the cloud. You can access it from your tablet. Pretty much you can, any device that you can access and log in with your, Windows Live account, you can, access any of your documents. So it's, I just love it. And, Word, I recently started using Office 365, so I started using Word in Office 365, and they've made a lot of changes. I haven't actually gotten to play with all of them yet because I've been so busy, but I've just noticed that they've structured it differently, and you can actually hide things. Like if, let's say you're writing a very long paper, if you structure it properly, you can hide the information under the headings and bring it up at any time. So I guess you can pretty much it just makes it easier to use and saves you some space without having to scroll as much as you would in previous versions. another Microsoft technology that's awesome is Skype, and you can use it on your phone or you can use it on your PC. On your phone, you can pretty much, well, what I use it for, I use it to talk to family members and visit with my nephew, and I'm actually able to see him and he can see me, so it's awesome. I also use it to communicate with partners, or if we're working on a project together. You can use Skype just as if you were using the phone to talk to people outside of the country, which is great because I have relatives outside of the country, so makes it very convenient and a free way for us to just talk on the phone whenever we feel like it. And I would definitely say Windows 8.1. I just recently upgraded to 8.1, and I thought Windows 8 was sweet when I first saw it. Windows 8.1 is way better. They pretty much fixed a bunch of bugs, and the whole setup is a lot better and a lot more convenient. I haven't fully gotten to play with it either because I just upgraded, but I can just tell it's a lot better, a lot easier to use.
Now we're down to our last set of questions here, and this one isn't about development. It's really about the profession that you're in, that is computing. And right now, computing isn't on par with accounting or medicine, law, and some of the other sort of recognized professions. So do you feel that computing should be a recognized profession on par with the others, with demonstrated professional development, adherence to a code of ethics, and a disciplined process for those who breach it, personal responsibility, public accountability, quality assurance, and recognized credentials?
Yes, I do feel that it should. Basically, and from my point of view, as companies expand or grow, their ability to handle their workload is contingent upon computers and applications. For example, even like in the accounting industry, accountants need to work with some type of software program to automate the process and make everything easier. Otherwise, they won't be able to handle the workload. And today, we're pretty much living in a very fast-paced world, so computing is a necessity, and it makes everything a lot easier. And I just basically feel like we need computer programs and databases and things like that to basically lighten our workload and help us perform even simple functions that can overwhelm us, but are a lot easier to do with some type of software program.
Now, Pat, in the past hour, you've talked about all the things that you've done, and you've led a pretty interesting life because you've tried many things, and you've overcome many challenges, and you've mastered, and you've developed quite a bit of expertise. Is there any interesting stories that you can share from all of the things that you've done?
Yes. I have one story in particular that happened when I was in Iraq. Basically, when we were in Iraq, we had the Battle Buddy system. And for those that don't know, a Battle Buddy system means you take your Battle Buddy everywhere that you go with you. You're never alone. You're always in groups of at least two. So my Battle Buddy and I were walking to the shower point because we had to take showers at basically we had set shower times and set shower days, and they were set up in like either real small buildings or sometimes even tents, and we kind of just had to rig up what we could to take a shower. Well, this time we were walking to the shower point, and we were running about, I'd say, a few minutes late. And had we actually been there on time, we would have been blown up, and I would not be here today doing this interview. Because I guess an RPG hit it, so we actually watched it burn up, so would not have ended good for either of us. And another story is the first time that one of my apps made it to the number one top paid category. I believe I was in class, in Dr. Bailey's class. She's the professor that I mentioned earlier that I always end up bugging for help. I was sitting in her class, and I had talked to her earlier that day. I sent her a text message because a new app that I had released, I guess, had gotten quite a bit of downloads, and I was pretty excited about it. And so I was sitting in her class, and I was checking the top paid categories to see if where my app was at this glanced over to the top left and see my app at number one, so I pretty much freaked out and yelled at her to come look, and so she high-fived me, and we all got excited, and that was pretty much a special time in my life that I wanted to share, because for one, like I said, a couple of years ago, I wouldn't even have believed you if you would have told me that I would have applications in the marketplace. And now I actually achieved something like having a number one app in the store. So was very proud of myself and very happy. And another story that I think is important to share, when I first started Dr. Bailey's programming class, I actually failed my first programming test. I got a zero, and she always says that I earned that all by myself, but I was struggling. It didn't make a lot of sense to me, and we were just running simple C# programs, like payroll programs, stuff like that, and I struggled all the way up until she introduced us to Windows 8 programming and Windows 8 applications, and she had the idea to start us out using templates, and that's exactly what I did. And at the beginning of the semester, she also told us we would each have an app in the marketplace by the end of the semester, which I was excited about that, but I just didn't know if I was going to be able to do it or not. Well, now I've got several apps and in the marketplace. I've spent a lot of time in her class pretty much just trying to figure all this out, and many nights where I would stay up half the night and wake up early in the morning, like at 6 o'clock in the morning, and pretty much that's how I was able to accomplish what I have accomplished so far. So my message to everybody is that if I can do it, anybody can do it, because I was completely computer illiterate and pretty much had to start from scratch. So if I can learn it, I think anybody can. As long as you're determined and you keep working at it, you can get it done.
Hey, I want to search for some of these apps. So can you give us some of the names that we can look for?
Yes, I can. I can give you either my developer name, or I can tell you specific app names. Are you going to be searching in the phone store or using your PC?
I'll be using my tablet. So I have a bunch of Windows 8 tablets.
Okay, on the tablet, this is kind of long because it's my first and middle initial and my last name. So you would type in PLJANISZEWSKI, and that's where my applications would appear if you're searching in the store.
Well, we're down to our last question, and this is about where we're turning the tables, and that is, if you were conducting this interview, what questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers?
Okay, I guess what I would ask is, what other programming languages do you work with? And the answer is that I am using Microsoft Virtual Academy and the resources available from Channel 9. I recently finished a course in JavaScript and jQuery, also HTML5, CSS3. I'm also taking doing an IT minor at this time, where I'm taking we're actually working on HTML5 and CSS3, building web pages using HTML and CSS. And it's a 3-hour class taught by 3 different professors. So one of the other professors with him were actually working in Visual Studio, and I just started learning Visual Basic. Okay, so the next question would be, what other programming languages would you like to learn? Pretty much I would say Java, and I would say I need to really work with the JavaScript. I picked up a few tricks in JavaScript and jQuery with watching the video series that I just finished, but I definitely need a lot more work. And my last question would be, do you enjoy what you are doing? And my answer is absolutely. I am completely dedicated to this stuff, and which is why I think that I've gotten so far because I'm pretty persistent with it and constantly working on it. And for anyone who doesn't believe me, you can ask my wife. She actually gets upset with me all the time because I'm always on my computer and unfortunately don't pay enough attention to her. So.
Wow. I mean, that's I really enjoyed the interview and you've been on this sort of remarkable journey. And it's interesting that you started off in HR and getting a degree in the human resources area. You start with the things like Excel and Word and Access, and you take a course in COBOL. And
right.
You're a long way from COBOL.
Right.
So I'm old enough to have programmed in COBOL, so. Anyways, I really enjoyed the interview with you, and I know you got a demanding schedule. You've got a family. You're going to school full time. You're running your own business, and you got all these apps that are at the top of the leaderboard and things like that. So, thank you for coming in today and sharing experiences with the audience.
Okay, well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed the interview, and I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Pat Genishevsky, innovating Windows Store and Windows Phone developer.